Okay, magandang umaga pong muli sa lahat. Inawit natin sa last verse, "I plagues and deaths around me fly, till He bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit." Angkop na angkop ito sa pag-aaral natin ng mga tungkol sa kalamidad, mga trahedya. They happen around us, yet until God has decided, until He bids, it will not hit us. But then, it also acknowledges that even the God of love may see fit na ang ganitong kalamidad ay tumama sa atin. At ito ang ating titingnan, madalas ibinibintang sa mga Kristiyano, tuwi na lang may trahedya, napaka-simplistic ng pag-iisip ninyo, lagi na lang kalooban ng Diyos. Well, to prove that false, we had last week a consideration of the scientific, the natural why of typhoons, at kahit ako'y natuto sa mga napag-aralan natin at sana na-appreciate natin yung scientific and natural explanation why typhoons happen, why the Philippines ay malimit na tamaan, dalawi ng mga bagyo. Pero ngayon ay titingnan natin from the standpoint ng as those who believe in the scriptures and as Filipinos trying to look at what are happening among our countrymen kapag may dumarating na ganitong bagyo. So itong ating titingnan, wala po akong handout. This is an isolated lesson. So dito lang tayo aasa. But on November 8, on November 8, 2013, Typhoon Haiyan, international name, Yolanda in local name, hit the Philippines and for 5 hours battered the islands of the Eastern Visayas. This is a satellite photo. At kung makikita ninyo, natakpan na talaga halos ang bansang Pilipinas. Bagamat yung pinaka-matinding bahagi niyan ay doon nangyari sa Eastern Visayas. And according to international forecast, 315 kilometers per hour ang kanyang lakas. Bagamat sa atin ay 250 kilometers ang kanilang pagsukat. At natutunan ko last Sunday, magkaiba ng mga panukat ang ginagamit. But that's how it looks from the satellite. And then in the wake of that typhoon, ito ang devastation na iniwan niya. So makikita niyo, it's aerial photo, I think of Tacloban. At dito makikita natin talagang grabe ang ginawa ng bagyong ito. At para lang makita natin kung gaano ito talaga kalakas, paano ba naman nangyari ang ganito na ang buong barko ay nasa lupain na. At alam nyo, may mga nadaganan ang barko na yan. And so there were many who died just from how a whole ship was carried by the wind on land. So paano nangyari yung ganong kalakas? Imagine nyo yung lakas ng 315 dyan sa SLEX. Hindi ako lumalampas ng 100 per hour. Dahil yun naman ang maximum. Pero nabibilisan na ako roon, natutulina na ako sa 100 per hour, 315. What idea could we have of how strong the wind is? Ito ang isang idea na buong barko dinala sa lupa. Pero hindi naman lahat ay bumagsak. May nanatiling nakatayo. Nanatiling nakatayo si MacArthur sa MacArthur Park sa kanyang landing site ng Leyte. Pero may natumbang sundalo roon. Palagay ko si Romulo yun. Dahil nung bumaba si MacArthur, ang dalawang Pilipinong kasama niya, President Manuel Rojas and Carlos P. Romulo, palagay ko si Romulo yung bumagsak na yun. Pero matindi ang pagkakatayo ng monument ni MacArthur. But I want us to watch a very poignant scene when CNN anchorman Anderson Cooper
came to the
Philippines.
One of the men tells us he wants to call his mother in Manila.
So when Anderson Cooper came to the Philippines, or he went to Tacloban, doon nakita niya yung dinagsa ng bagyo. Alam niyo, nagkaroon pa sila ng kontrobersya ni Corina Sanchez dyan. Pero nakita niya mismo, nandoon siya. And one of the most poignant, at least to me, one of the most dramatic scenes was this interview with one survivor.
One of the men tells us he wants to call his mother in Manila. He's desperate to tell her that he and his daughter survived, though his wife and two other children are dead. We dial her number on our satellite phone.
Ma, sabi ko, ma.
They're gone. They're all gone, he says.
Ma, ma.
don't know why this happened to me.
Okay, so yun ang isang anyo ng biktima. At yung tanong niya, marahil tanong ng marami, bakit nangyari sa akin ito? And we can make that a collective question, bakit nangyari ito sa Pilipinas? Bakit nangyayari ito sa sino mang pamilya o sa sino mang individual? Kung minsan ginagamit siya ng mga ayaw maniwala sa Diyos na parang argumento nila, bakit nangyayari ang mga ganito? Well, let's look at it both from the cultural as well as from the theological side. Sa sinasabi na when disasters strike, disasters bring out both the best and the worst in people. Well, we see exactly that. Sa makikita natin, after the typhoon, the first responders were American Navy and Marines bringing relief goods bago pa dumating yung ating mga lokal na mga saklolo. Ay nauna na rin ang mga American Navy, American Marines, at kita nyo yung kanilang kahandaang tumulong. At of course, that has been duplicated many times. Maraming mga naging handang tumulong. Celebrities, in fact, even wanted to be counted. Here is a donation by perhaps the most popular football player, although retired now, David Beckham, and his also celebrity wife, Victoria Beckham. At naghatid sila ng donation. Hindi lamang yan, can you imagine, even Justin Bieber made a surprise visit in Tacloban at nagbigay ng kasayahan sa mga kabataan. Eh, nakita ko ngayon isang dalagita na nag-iiyak kasi hindi niya nasalubong si Bieber sa airport. Nalampasan siya, nagkasalisit talagang sa balita, umaatungal siya ng iyak doon. Hindi ko maintindihan yung idol, pagka-idolize niya. But still, we appreciate that big stars like Justin Bieber would take the time to pay a visit. And so it brings out the best in people, both local and international. The United Nations have made calls and until now still raising funds for the Philippines. It's something that really should strike an appreciative response on our part. Just as it brings out the best in, or rather, it brings out the best in people to help, it also brings out the resiliency of the Filipino, yung kanyang kakayahan na bumawi. Isa yan sa hinahangaan. In fact, Anderson Cooper made note of that in his report. Nung bumalik na siya sa CNN, isa yun sa kanyang hinangaan. And there is no doubt that one reason for such resiliency is the Filipino's religious nature. Yan ay after ng bagyo, makikita natin na reliyon ang nagbibigay suporta sa kanilang pananampalataya. Unfortunately, it is a religion that is many times rooted in idolatry as well as superstition. But nonetheless, ang approach natin dyan ay kagaya ng approach ni Paul sa Athens nung makita niya yung monument which was dedicated to the unknown God. Hindi niya nilait, hindi niya hinamak, kundi pinuri nga niya that they were very religious. And then he was prepared to make that the starting point para ipahayag ang tunay na Diyos. Ganun dapat ang approach natin. Huwag tayong agad umangal na ito ay maling reliyon. Ang umpisahan natin, mabuti't reliyoso sila. Try witnessing to people who have no religion at all or irreligious, mas mahirap. The fact that Filipinos are religious gives them resiliency, at isang bagay ito na mahahangaan natin sa mga Pilipino, isang bagay rin na gamitin natin sa ating pagpapatotoo sa kanila. But just as it brings out the best in people, it can also bring out the worst. Here is a man who will never have my vote. Vice President Jojo Binay, ay nagbigay siya ng mga tulong, pero tingnan niyo naman, parang ginawang kampanya yung pagtulong niya, andyan ang mga pangalan niya, at yun ang kanyang ginawa. So, ginawang political attraction itong pagkasalanta sa ating mga kababayan. At maraming gumawa niyan sa lokal na level at iba pa. And another man who lost my vote. He became the face of the government in this time ng calamity, Secretary Mar Rojas. Now, let me tell you, according to the law that created the National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council, by that law, it should be the Secretary of Defense who is the chair of that whole council. Pero where was Secretary Gasmin all this while? Wala, he was faceless practically, and it was all Rojas. Eh, bakit si Rojas? Eh, dahil alam natin ang kanyang plano sa 2016, siya yung iniharap doon. And nung siya iharap, there was a lot of flack. In fact, some columnists have said that the calamity that hit Leyte next to Yolanda was Mar Rojas. That may be unfair, but the point is they did not take it kindly, yung kanyang mga naging aksyon. At habang kinokolekta pa ang mga bangkay, hindi pa natatapos, we were treated to a political feud between Secretary Mar Rojas and Tacloban Mayor Alfred Romualdez. At isang naging complaint dito ni Romualdez ay sa isang pagdinig sa Kongreso. Pakiplay.
As far as I know, the President is the President of the Philippines and he's also President of Tacloban City. I do not see anywhere in the law that you need a letter, an ordinance from me for you to come in and do what you're doing. And he answered me and told me that you have to remember, we have to be very careful because you are a Romualdez and the President is an Aquino.
No, he was talking about this. A video that went viral.
You have to understand, you are a Romualdez and the President is an Aquino. So we just want to legalize this. Now, if it's not legalized,
okay, did you catch that? You are a Romualdez, the President is an Aquino.
You are a Romualdez, and the President is an Aquino. So we just want to legalize this. Now, if it's not legalized, then okay, you're in charge and we have you. And that's great.
So humingi siya ng letter at sinabi niya, if it is not legalized, then you are in charge, bahala kayo sa buhay niyo. That was very clear doon sa video. And this is the man who is supposed to be dealing with compassion on people who have just had the worst typhoon in history. At ang kanyang ibibigay ay parang gusto niya, ang mayor ay magsulat ng hingi ng tulong na hindi na nila kaya. That's what he was asking. Kung makuha niyo yung buong video, it's 43 minutes. Of course, we cannot play that. Pero doon sa buong video, gusto niyang parang mag-confess si Romualdez na hindi na niya kaya yung sitwasyon, kaya papasok ang presidente. Eh, bakit kailangan ng isang mayor ay parang mag-surrender para bago pumasok ang Pangulo? Well, again, there's a lot of politics in it and there are more that I can show. But what I'm trying to say is that during disasters, makikita natin both the best and the worst in people. We saw compassion, the resiliency of our culture, but yet even in disasters, politics reared its ugly head. At yun ang nangyayari. But then, syempre, gusto nating sagutin, bakit sa pananaw ng ating pananampalataya, eh bakit ba nangyayari ang mga bagay na ito? Well, after the disaster, websites like this appeared. Here is a website, Creation Science Study. Binigyan pa ng Jesus Loves You. Pagkatapos, God is punishing the Philippines. And the paragraph really is very unedifying kung bakit pinapunish ang Philippines, but will not go through that trouble. Pero ilang websites ang lumitaw pagkatapos ng disaster. Ito ang kanilang nagiging paliwanag. And you see, it is as wrong as Job's friends were. Nung makita nila ang pagdurusa ni Job, ang agad nilang tumalun o lumundag agad sila sa konklusyon na may malaki kang kasalanan kaya malaki ang parusa sa iyo. And that is always the wrong conclusion. Madalas gawin ito ng mga nagaangking may karunungang Kristiyano. During the 9/11 attacks, people like Pat Robertson of the 700 Club went on air and said na nangyari ito sa Amerika dahil pinarurusahan ng Diyos, dahil sa ganito at ganyan. Ganyan din ang ginawa ng ilang pang religious leaders. And here it is again. People are trying to plumb the depths of God's mind and presume to know. And of course, any specific tragedy, we cannot know. We do not know as to the specific reason behind that. Pero meron tayong mga kasulatan na maaari nating gamitin. So when we see things like this happen, we go to scriptures. When tragedies strike, what can we say was God's role behind that? Then, ang isang magandang talata ay Psalm 46. Hindi natin babasahin yung buo. Pero mag-umpisa tayo sa the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So, dun daw sa mga disasters, whether natural, such as yung desolation, or man-made, such as wars, either of such disasters, the purpose is that the Lord will be exalted among the nations. And therefore, we ask, in what way is God exalted when disasters like this happen? Well, ang kunin nating thought dito is that God's exalted status is the saint's refuge in times of natural or man-made disaster. In what way is God exalted? In these three ways, three clusters of attributes. Una, God is exalted in justice and righteousness in times of disaster. God is exalted in power and wisdom in times of disaster. God is exalted in mercy and compassion in times of disaster. Lahat yan, nakapaloob doon sa katotohanan ang paniniwala natin, this is God's creation and God is in control of His creation. Jeremiah 10 verse 12, He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. You give up the doctrine of creation, you give up God's sovereignty over creation. And you give up any refuge in times of disaster. In other words, yung mga nagsasabing it doesn't make a big deal if we do not have the doctrine of creation. Kaya bibigay sila sa what is now considered the scientific explanation. Well, we believe that there is a doctrine of creation because among other things, ang ibig sabihin niya ay may soberanong control ang Diyos. Siya ang nagtatag at kung anong nangyayari sa kalikasan ay kanyang soberanong control. He stretches it out, He brings out the wind out of His reservoir. Yan ang sinabi ng salita ng Diyos. Kaya tingnan natin isa-isa. Yung unang sinabi natin, God is exalted in justice and righteousness in times of disaster. So, maaring mangyari na may dahilang katarungan at katuwiran pag siya'y nagpapadala ng mga trahedya, ng mga kalamidad. Itong ginawa niya sa Juda, Jeremiah 44:22, the Lord could no longer bear your evil deeds and the abominations that you committed. Therefore, your land has become a desolation and a waste and a curse without inhabitant as it is this day. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, maaring magpadala ang Panginoon ng disaster, ng pagkawasak bilang hatol. Maaring yan ang dahilan. Ang punto ko, hindi natin ito maaring sabihin kung walang kapahayagan ng Diyos. Dito, may kapahayagan siya. Ipinahayag niya para sa Juda. Pero ang punto natin ay, kung merong nangyaring disaster, ang dapat nating makita dito ay, this is just a token and a preparation for the final judgment. Every disaster is reminding us there is a much greater disaster that we must be prepared for. At ang revelation ang nabigay sa atin, ang pangitaing ganyan, nung dumating na ang araw ng paghahatol, lahat daw ng tao sa mundo, hari, dukha, sama-samang nagsipanakbuhan, at ang sigaw nila, sa mga bundok, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? So, disasters like Yolanda should make us grieve and be compassionate, but disasters like this also remind us of a greater disaster. Kung ikaw man ay hindi inabutan ng kalamidad, hindi ka nasama sa mga biktima, ayon sa kahabagan ng Diyos, ngunit tandaan mo, haharap tayong lahat sa darating na hatol at maliban na ikaw ay na kay Jesucristo. Wala kang pagtakas sa tinawag na puot na darating. There is no fleeing from the wrath to come unless you are in Christ, because Christ alone took that judgment upon Himself as substitute. Pero ang isang implikasyon nito, dalawang implikasyon, kung makikita natin ang justice at righteousness ng Panginoon, then it means God can bring disaster to any part of sinful humanity. Hindi titingnan na dahil makasalanan sila. So times of disaster should not lead to gloating by those who are spared. Ay, yung mga nangyari ng tsunami ng 2004. Again, marami na naman nagsabi mga makasalanan kasi ang mga taong yun. Eh kung pagbabatayan sa mga kasalanan, dapat Pilipinas ang nabaon. Pero hindi nangyari. Bakit? Sapagkat ito ay ayon sa soberanong pasya ng Diyos at ayon sa kanyang kahabagan. Pero kung datnan tayo ng disaster, then it is something that God can do justly on anyone, on any place. So sa tanong ng taong yun, bakit nangyari sa akin ito? Maaari itong mangyari kanino man sapagkat tayo ay nasa ilalim ng katarungan ng Diyos. Kung hindi man nangyayari, dala ito ng kanyang kahabagan. And that brings me to my second point. God is exalted in power and wisdom in times of disaster. So dun sa Isaiah 40, may mga sinabi roon na ginagawa niya sa kalikasan. And then he says, whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? So ibig sabihin, sa lahat ng ginagawa niya, wala siyang kailangang konsultahin sapagkat sapat ang kanyang karunungan. Kung may ginawa siya na sa paningin natin, hindi natin maintindihan bakit nangyari, it only means there is purpose in disaster that may not be apparent to us. At isang panawagan nito sa atin ay kumilala sa kanyang malawak na karunungang hindi natin matatarok. Sa unang bahagi ng awit 46, ang Diyos ay ating kanlungan at kalakasan, isang handang saklolo sa kabagabagan. Kaya't hindi tayo matatakot bagaman mabago ang lupa, bagaman ang mga bundok ay madulas sa puso ng dagat. So this is exaggerating physical, natural disaster. But even if that happens, para sa mga nanampalataya, hindi siya bibigay sa pagkabagabag. So, times of disaster invite and challenge trust in God. And if we can express the ultimate of trust, no less than Job expressed it, what is trust? Though you slay me, I will trust in you. Now, that is trust. Hindi trust yung hanggang dito lang. Kapag lumampas doon, ay magagalit sa Diyos o maghihimagsik sa Diyos. So what do you think is the worst that happened to you? And you believe in God's sovereignty? Well, put yourself in Job. He lost most of his family, all of his property, and he was suffering physically the worst pain. And yet he could say, even if you slay me, kahit na ako'y patayin mo, magtitiwala ako sa iyo. Ang ibig sabihin yan, marunong ang Diyos. Hindi man natin nalalaman, hindi man natin maipaliwanag, hindi natin maipaliwanag ngayon ang dahilan ng Yolanda, hindi natin mabigyan ng konkretong katwiran. Ngunit, sa paniniwala nating control ito ng Diyos, mapagtitiwalaan natin siya. And that is the challenge of trust. And then finally, God is exalted in mercy and compassion in times of disaster. Put yourself in Jonah. Gusto niyang hatulan ng Diyos ang Nineveh. Ngunit, nang nangyari, una, tinangka niyang takasan, hinabol siya ng isda, dinala uli doon, nakarating sa Nineveh, pero yung pangangaral niya was without compassion. Basta nag-announce lang siya ng judgment, no invitation to salvation, and yet, what happened was a shock to him. Nineveh repented. At ngayon, nagmamaktol siya. Matapos na mabilad siya sa araw ng kunin ng Panginoon ang naka-anino sa kanya. And now, ang kanyang complaint, I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Now, take note, this is not praise. This is complaint. Hindi niya pinupuri ang Diyos dyan na siya ay mahabagin. Parang nagko-complain siya. Sinasabi ko nga ba, alam kong mahabagin kayo. Ngayon, palalampasin mo itong Nineveh sa judgment. But in his complaint, he gave word exactly as to who God is. He does not bring disaster as though he is a whimsical, capricious God. He relents from disaster. So yung mercy ng Panginoon, makikita natin when he restrains disaster from occurring. Nangyari sa Eastern Visayas, why not in Manila? Kung nangyari sa Manila, gaano kaya ang destruction? And if we are spared, huwag tayong mag-gloat sa kanila. Alam kong hindi natin ginagawa, pero nakita natin may mga gumagawa na namimintas doon sa mga naging biktima. We cannot. If we are spared, it is because God restrains. And when it happens, daanan tayo, pero we are spared, that also is mercy. When God preserves us, when disaster happens. And then, the most important revelation of God's mercy is in the worst suffering of all. And that is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever suffering we experience here on earth, by disaster, by war, we can never exceed nor match the suffering of the Son of God when He died on the cross. Kaya si Kristo man ay nagdusa minsanan para sa mga kasalanan, ang matuwid para sa mga hindi matuwid, upang dalhin niya tayo sa Diyos. At yan ang isang napakahalagang bagay ukol sa pagdurusa. Ang pinakamahalagang pagdurusang nangyari sa kasaysayan ay ang pagdurusa at kamatayan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Ngunit mula sa kamatayan na yon, mayroon tayong katubusan. Pero dahil sa mga disaster, maaari natin makita ang kahabagan ng Diyos. Unang-una, we may plead the mercy and compassion of God meaningfully in disaster. Maaari tayong magsumamo sa kahabagan ng Diyos sa panahon ng mga kalamidad. And then, we must exercise mercy and compassion toward victims of disaster. Okay? Itong isa ating konkretong ginawa at ginagawa pa na tayo'y makaabot ng kahabagan sa mga nasalanta ng kalamidad. At lalo na sa mga kapananampalataya natin, binigyang prioridad ito sa salita ng Diyos. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith or the family of believers. So all in all, hindi natin sinasabing mapapaliwanag natin ang bakit ng isang particular na kalamidad. We are not going to divine God's will or God's purpose in a particular disaster. Why Yolanda? We do not know the specific, but what we can say is in any disaster, we should know God in His justice and righteousness, in His power and wisdom, in His mercy and compassion. And that is what Psalm 46 is telling us to conclude what God wants us to do in times of disaster. Be still and know that I am God. Be still there means don't complain. Don't rebel. Don't cry against God. But rather, be still, meaning be at peace with the thought that God is in control and know Him, even in times of disaster. Any question? any thoughts you'd like to clarify, or perhaps thoughts you'd like to add on your thoughts on Yolanda. Paul.
Pastor, maybe a basic but very difficult question as well. Yung narinig po namin sa mga kaibigan namin na yun daw ang bagyo, yung Yolanda daw, ipadala daw ng Diablo. Hindi daw galing sa Diyos. Pero kung titingnan naman natin sa Isaiah 47, merong clear statement doon that I create calamity. How do you explain that?
Even if there is an instrumentality that we can say is demonic, it is only done by the permission of God. Makikita natin yung nangyari kay Job. There was, masasabi nating pambubuyo o panunokso ng Diablo, at siya ay pinahintulutang gawin ang makakapinsala una sa mga ari-arian, pagkatapos sa kanyang mga anak, at pagkatapos ay mismo sa kanyang katawan. So there was permission, and then Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 spoke of a messenger of Satan to afflict him. But even then, he attributes this to God. Even yung mga masamang nangyari na masasabi natin something that has a demonic spell, I still, it will only happen by the permission of God. Other questions?
Pastor, doon sa the worst pa rin sa Pilipino, yung bang looting ay justified dahil sila ay nagugutom daw. Pero of course, pwera yung nangunguha ng mga TV at saka kung ano-anong mga appliances na. No? So, is that justified under the circumstances na napagalan daw sila sa gobyerno? In contrast, halimbawa, sa tsunami na tumama sa Japan, na ang mga Hapon ay nakapila kahit napakahaba ng linya nila at nandun pa rin ang disiplina at pasensya.
Well, in the case ng Japan, it was the relief was immediately available. Same day na nangyari yung kalamidad, andun na, in place na lahat. In fact, mas naging pasensyoso pa yung mga Pilipino compared to nangyari sa Katrina, and looting was immediately happening right after ng sinalanta. Dito sa Pilipinas, mga tatlo, apat na araw bago nagsimula yung looting, syempre, gutom na talaga yung mga tao noon. So what I'm saying is it's not justified, yet it is understandable in light of the very slow response of the government, lalo na dun sa nakikita nila, andyan yung mga pagkain, walang bantay, and then talaga nagugutom sila. So it is what happens in a crowd na nasa ganung kondisyon, nangyari yan sa kahit saan, nangyari sa atin because of the absence of law enforcement. So it's not justifiable, but nonetheless understandable, and the blame should be on the absence of law enforcement. Pero yun nga, yung iba ron, ang kinukuha ng mga components, mga gadgets, eh, hindi na dahil sa gutom yan. Other questions or thoughts? And as I said last Sunday, kasamang mga maraming Kristiyano ang nasalanta, namatay, napinsala. One of the first interviews sa CNN was of a pastor of a Baptist church. Ang pangalan ng church niya, Grace Baptist Church din, pero ini-interview siya at maraming nasalanta sa kanila. And I think I told you last Sunday, may pinuntahan na simbahan ang mga relief workers ng CRBC, and up to now, half of the membership is not yet accounted for. So, wag nating isipin na iilagan ng trahedya ang mga Kristiyano. Walang ganyang pagtuturo sa salita ng Diyos. Other questions? Other thoughts? Glenn.
Ang usual response ng Kristiyano ay lalo na yung mga Kristiyano. Sabi, ingatan ako ng Panginoon, di ba palaging ganun? Parang ingatan, o hindi ako tapos ingat ako ng Panginoon with the premise na talagang kahit anong bagyong darating, ako'y mabubuhay. Parang yun ang lagi nilang, parang yan ang sigurado ako. Kung mamatay man ako, ay parang implication din ay walang Diyos. Kagaya din ng mga politicians na mga Kristiyano running na yan ang sabi ng Panginoon sa akin, ako'y mananalo bilang senador o presidente. Parang ganun.
Yeah, and they call it faith. Actually, it is presumption. Pangangahas. Ibig sabihin, nangangahas sila na magsalita para sa Diyos. Walang sinabi ang Diyos na tayo ay maiingatan sa mga salot, mga kalamidad. Kung tumama yan, kasama ang mga Kristiyano sa magiging biktima. Nangyari yan sa Black Death in the 14th century, which wiped out a third of Europe, kasama ang mga mananampalataya. Eh, ganun din sa 16th century ng mga salot, hindi iniilagan. Ang dapat, manalangin tayo ng pag-iingat, tama iyon, at ipaubaya natin sa Diyos. Pero laging may karugtong ng sinabi ni Job, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Good.
Maganda din sigurong ihambing siguro yung example din ni Daniel, yung the three, yung tatlo sila magkabigan na kung masunog sila ay talagang kahit hindi daw hindi sa mabuhay, sa Panginoon pa rin sila.
Exactly. That's a good example. Yung si Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, nung hindi sila nag-bow down sa image ni Nebuchadnezzar and under threat na i-bullied sila sa furnace of fire, ayun ang naging answer nila na if you cast us into the furnace of fire, our Lord can protect us, but even if not, we will not bow down to the image. Kung tayo kaya ang nandun, yumukod ka sa aking imahin, hindi. Halika, ibubulid kita sa apoy. Pag-usapan natin. And I remember the speech that was played out again and again of Nelson Mandela during his trial, na sinabi niya na this is my advocacy and this is what I will live for, but if necessary, I will die by it. And that's something that should challenge us. Are there things we will die by?
Naka-attend lang ako itong week na to ng isang meeting with, there was a congressman. And the congressman was mentioning about disasters and mentioned about earthquakes and all this disaster hitting the country. And doon sa audience kasi, inaanak daw niya yun. Ano? Pero bishop ang tawag niya, pero I don't know kung anong bishop talaga. Nag-jump on na siya. Sinabi niya, Matthew 24, yung end times, na yung rumor of wars, earthquakes, etc. So tapos sinabi na niya yung ganito talaga nangyayari at yan ay sinabi sa Biblia. So maybe there would be those people who would be using these verses. How do we respond to that? And may kadugtong yun kasi pastor, ano? Tapos sinabi niya na kaya kami, ewan ko kung anong grupo sila, nangangampanya sila dahil may conditional prophecy daw sa Pilipinas and the usual mention of 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name, dun daw Pilipinas, kung magsisi, hindi raw darating yung mga disaster na yan. How do we hindi na ako sumagot doon sa meeting, ano? Kasi baka maging theological yung discussion. Do we respond, or if we will not respond, if we take him on the side, how do we explain to this kind of people na medyo iba yata yung iniisip nila sa end times, at saka yung ganitong pagpapaliwanag, lalo yun. Mukhang kumbinsido yung congressman pastor, baka maghahain siya ng bill tungkol doon sa end times. Awan ko lang, pastor. Just imagining, pero how do we answer this kind of people?
Well, just to take note, yung misuse of scriptures muna, misuse of Matthew 24, madalas yan. Hindi nila binabasa yung texto mismo, basta may nabanggit nga doon, earthquake, wars, and rumors of wars, ang hindi nila tinutuloy, sinasabi, but the end is not yet. These are not the signs of the end. Maririnig niyo yun, katulad ng nangyari before the fall of Jerusalem, and ipinaparallel yung end of the world. Ang sinabi ro na, you will hear of this, and the end is not yet. So they are not the signs of the end. And it exposes the shallowness of faith when someone gets to believe in the second coming because of an earthquake or because of a tsunami or because of a calamity. I believe in the second coming because the word of God says it will happen, not because of an earthquake. And they are not the signs. The sign is that the gospel will be preached to all nations and then the end shall come. Pero yung time, hindi natin nalalaman. Kasi nga, yung comparison ng fall of Jerusalem and end of the world, sinabi tungkol sa fall of Jerusalem, this generation shall not pass until these things take place. So yung generation na yun, yun ang darat na ng fall of Jerusalem, it happened 70 AD. But then, tinuloy ng Panginoon, but of that day and of hour, no one knows. So no one knows, you don't know the hour, you don't know the day, you don't even know the generation. Kaya yung mga nagbibigay ng conclusive statements like darating na ang Panginoon, they don't know what they are saying. So scripture-wise, it's misuse of Matthew 24. It's also misuse of 1 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name. Again, basahin nila yung buong text. Verse 20 of that says, there is no other nation like Israel. Pang-Israel yun, hindi yun para sa atin. At ang Pilipinas is not a nation called by the Lord's name. Whatever claim may be made, it is ours is not a nation of God. Hindi tayo bayan na tinatawag sa pangalan ng Diyos. So gaya ng mensahe ko kanina, ang katuparan na ng sangbahayan ni David sa Bagong Tipan ay sa iglesia, hindi sa... pagdating sa mga redemptive events like the end of the world, second coming, politics has nothing to do with it. And the last thoughts.
Sa harap ng ano, mga naririnig natin na mga maling mga negative comments na tungkol sa ating gobyerno, paano natin tatanggapin bilang Kristiyano yung mga bagay na naririnig natin? Kasi personally, medyo parang may konting dilema. At saka yung ano ba ang ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng quick response? Kasi kumbaga sinasabi nga na slow ang pagkilos ng government, pero how would we define quick response in the face dun sa situation natin na archipelago, so separated mga islands tayo, and then kung nakapunta kayo by land to Tacloban, makikitang may mga hindi ganun kadali ang pag-transport, and considering na yung bagyo, isang effect ng bagyo is ang pagharang sa mga kalsada. And kung sabihin naman by air, may problema din tayo in terms ng ilan lang ba daw, dalawa, tatlo, yung available natin na pwedeng mag-deliver ng mga relief goods. So, parang sa akin lang, parang ganun, pag pinakinggan natin yung mga balita, parang nakakalungkot isipin na parang na-picture yung government na delinquente, hindi magaling. Parang ganun, kawawa naman ng Pilipinas, parang ganun. So, iniisip ko lang, ganun ba talaga? Or sa akin lang, bilang isang taga-Visayas, at nakabiyahe papunta doon, naisip ko na hindi din naman talaga magiging mabilis ang pagresponde considering the hindrances na nangyari sa yun nga na effect ng bagyo.
days before landfall, ay nag-forecast na ang PAGASA, meron ng mga pasabi rin ng Pangulo, at nagsabi rin sila na all everything is in place. In place means kung saan saan darating ang bagyo, eh handa na dapat sila. Pero ilagay na natin na hindi lubos na tapaghandaan. But ito yung sinasabi ni Anderson Cooper. He came to Tacloban 5 days after Yolanda made landfall. At yun ang tinatanong niya. Kahit ikaw mahihiya sa kanyang obserbasyon doon, where is the rescue? Andun siya mismo sa Tacloban 5 days after. And he himself was so exasperated by what he has seen or maybe what he has not seen. Dahil ang mga talagang nandoon, mga foreigners. And they were saying that help is in place. In place, I suppose, should mean nandoon sa lugar na tatamaan mismo. At dyan nga sa NDRRC MC law, ang defense secretary, ang chairman, co-chair for preparedness is DILG. Co-chair for relief is DSWD, so Dinky Suliman. Pero all throughout, it was Mar Rojas who was the face of the government. Wala yung in place na pinangako nila. So again, let's say first day, second day, all of us were shocked by the strength of the typhoon. Pero 5 days, wala pa rin doon sa dapat na paglagyan. And that simply, to me, is ineptitude.
Follow up lang. Kasi nagsalita si Dinky Suliman at yun, hindi niya, inamin niya na may pagkabagal, pero hindi naman niya sinabi na inabot ng 5 days, na ando na sila bago mag 5 days. Pero anyway, yun lang, more of yun nga, how do we weigh things and how are we supposed to react doon sa mga negative things that we hear about our own government?
Well, admit that there was unpreparedness, and kahit sabihin natin tayo ay mahirap na bansa, pero tayo ang pinakadapat handa sa bagyo. Tayo yata may pinakamaraming bagyo sa isang taon. So dapat ay nandun talaga yung mga system and structure when typhoons come. And sabihin man natin na nabigla tayo sa kalakasan ng Yolanda, but first 2-3 days should be, all those things should be in place. But imagine 2 weeks after the United Nations ay nagpiplead pa na may mga lugar pang hindi naaabot. Any more last thoughts? Mikaya.
How does the government explain the fact nga po that they didn't follow the protocol of having the defense handle the situation instead of yung DILG?
Well, I suppose nga there's a political color, because kahit kung mapapansin nyo, kahit na anong crisis ang nakaharap Mar Rojas. Is that your question?
Wala ba pong parang nagtatanong na bakit ganun yung nangyayari? And if so, ano nga pong sinasagot nila? Or is it na walang nagbabother to ask?
No, marami nagtatanong. Nasa mga columns yan, ng both local and foreign, nasa mga international news. I told you of CNN. I haven't told you of BBC and other international media, na yun din ang itinatanong. Kaya nga, yung anong nangyari, masyadong pikon ang gobyerno. Nang 2 days after that, mayor of Tacloban was pleading for more police presence dahil nga nanganganib na ng looting, sinabi ng chief of police ng Tacloban na he is estimating 10,000 fatalities. Anong ginawa ni Pinoy? Tanggal. Dahil hindi tumugma sa kanyang naunang pahayag na minimum fatalities. Eh, yung minimum na yon ngayon lumampas na ng 6,000 and there are still hundreds that are missing. So, yun ang point na instead of looking at the situation and put your feet on the ground, masyadong, yun ang isang Pilipino rin, sensitibo at pikon. So, yun ang nangyari. And yet, the questions were raised. G.
I was looking, Pastor, doon sa the man who was crying in anguish. Doon kasi nung nangyari yon, I tried to exercise yung verse na be still and know that I am God. Kasi yun yung personal ko, being a Christian, nakaranas ng pag-ibig ng Diyos. Though yung sovereignty is more of yung readings actually. So kung ilalagay ko yung sarili ko doon sa mama na umiiyak, he is so fearful. Kung ipapaalam ko sa kanya ang sovereignty ng Panginoon, na ganito yan, he is crying in anguish. Now he is so fearful before a God who is so powerful. And then yung katanungan niya na why did it happen to us, to me? Paano ko naman maipaliwanag sa kanya at the time na he is in anguish, at the same time, maibahagi ko pa rin sa kanya, the Lord loves him. Paano parang tubig at sakalangis na paghahaluin?
It's a good question, and I suppose the first answer is first cry with him. That moment of anguish is not a moment for you to give a theological lecture, kundi itong nangyari sa mga kaibigan ni Job. Sabi roon, yung three friends niya na dumating, for 7 days, they wept with him. And that was good. Then the moment they opened their mouths, things fell apart. So ang point noon, ang kinapakita noon, when you are dealing with a man in anguish, weep with him. And don't try to explain in the sense na meron ka talagang sagot. Walang sagot. Yun ang sinasabi ko doon sa trust. Ang trust ay magtiwala ka sa isang walang kasagutan dahil ang tanging sagot ay ang Diyos. Siya ang may sagot, pero hindi mo alam kung bakit. And that's where we apply Romans 12, weep with those who weep. Meron pa follow-up? Well, I hope ang isang itinuturo nito sa atin ay have a God-centered outlook, whether things are good. And remember, there are more things that are good then there are disasters. Disasters like this happen once in a while, few and far between. Have you been thankful to God for the good blessings we enjoy on more days than the disasters? And when we have a God-centered outlook, it will not take a disaster to destroy our faith. It takes disaster to all the more polish that faith and be able to say that though he slays me, yet I will trust Him. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami na maaari kaming makabuklat ng iyong salita at doon ay kumuha ng karunungan na nararapat naming angkinin sa ganitong mga kapanahunan, sa mga trahedya na gaya ng Yolanda. Wala kaming maisasagot sa katanungang bakit. Walang tuwiran na sagot, ngunit may mga prinsipyo ng iyong salita na maari naming angkinin. Nawa, Panginoon, ay magkaroon ng pagkakatuto ang aming pamahalaan sa ganitong trahedya at mas maging may maturidad ang kanilang pagtutok sa mga pangangailangan ganito at hindi umiral ang politika sa halipayang tunay na pagtulong sa aming mga kababayan. Pinapanalangin namin maging ang rehabilitasyon at ang pamumuno ng chairman na si Ping Lacson sa pagtutok sa mga dapat pang asikasuhin sa mga nasalanta at naway managumpay ito. Panalangin din namin kami bilang mga mananampalataya sa ganitong mga kapanahunan ay maitaas ka namin sa iyong katarungan at katuwiran. Kaming lahat ay nasa makasalanang mundo at kung ito ay mangyari sa amin, wala kang ginawang labag sa iyong katarungan. Kayo man mas makikita namin ang iyong kahabagan na umiiral sa araw-araw naming mga pagpapala. Naway puspusin mo kami ng pagpapasalamat sa mga pagpapala mo. At kung dumating ang trahedya, huwag nitong buwagin ang aming pananampalataya. Help us, Lord, to believe that you are God who is sovereign, a God who is just yet merciful and compassionate, and you have wisdom that is infinite. And we can never pry into your infinite wisdom and presume to know and presume to make pronouncements. Give us humility and help us, Lord, to learn to weep with those who weep. And yet at the same time, to so trust that we can say with Job, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. May we have that trust in our day-to-day, even in days of disaster, that we will learn to glorify you and to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.